Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot to get to. Michael Lee will join us. Of course, covers hoops and sports enterprise for the Washington Post. He'll join us later on this hour. Ross Dellinger will join us. We'll talk some college football next hour. That should be absolutely fascinating. And Andrew Brandt and Brian Billick will join us in the third hour of the show. Oh, God. Arnold Palmer's just the best, isn't it? Just the best. Way better than that Sprite and lemonade that Giannis is drinking while the victory parade went on today in Milwaukee. We'll cover that as well. The NFL has basically said, get vaccinated or else, without saying get vaccinated or else. Brilliant, brilliant from the league. And there's continuing rumors that Russell Westbrook will be a Laker. I'll give you my thoughts, as well as we'll get Skip Bayless's thoughts on Westbrook to the Lakers. Oh, yeah, and there's the Texas OU rumors, whether or not they would leave the Big 12. I got a bunch of stuff to get to. Let me start with this, though. There is some groundbreaking news on the basketball front in terms of name, image, and likeness. Mikey Williams is a prodigy. He's going to be a junior in high school. He has played for, I believe, San Ysidro High School going back to the last 2 years. And he's played for LeBron with LeBron's son's AU team. He's played all over. He is a burgeoning star, superstar level recruit who will likely never go to college. So he signed a deal today, a name, image, and likeness deal with Excel Sports. And Excel Sports is like they're going to try and corner the market on getting guys' name, image, and likeness deals. It makes sense with Michael Williams because he has, I think he might even have 2 million followers. Like, it's definitely over a million followers. And he is a YouTube slash Instagram sensation. And so now he's able to profit and have endorsement deals off his name, image, and likeness while he's in high school. And I don't hate to say I told you so. I did, in fact, tell you so. Now, the red herring here is that Mikey Williams was never going to play in college anyway. Nobody's even recruiting him because nobody thought that he would, let alone be eligible or even want to, right? He's the type of kid who goes to the G League Select or goes and plays maybe overseas if they want him. Because that's always been his career plan and career path. There's never been any sort of desire to go to college. The problem is that, and you'll see this from people, this is what I told you was coming. And you're like, wait a second, I thought name, image, likeness was for college. Like, it is, but if you completely destroy any ideals of what being an amateur is, you destroy any ideals of what being a kid is. And while for Mikey Williams, this may be great and beneficial, and it might not affect his career trajectory at all. The fact is that I think it's gross. I think it's gross. And I understand that there are child actors who have become model citizens that are good parents, good humans, and some are still even in the profession of acting. But how many stories do we need to learn about before we go, yeah, it was too much too soon? Right? And while some of this mirrors what kids do overseas, Luka Doncic, for example, was a professional, I believe, by the age of 14, right? The difference is so vast, right? Like, I love people that say, well, you know, this overseas, this is what happens. And with golfers, this is what happens. And with the difference is our society is wired so completely differently. Our education of our children is so far behind in comparison to many of these countries. And our ability to provide any sort of safety net for guys where it doesn't work out is far different from that. Like, we're doing this. This is what we kind of do in America, right? We don't want to use the whole Bible because the whole Bible has some things which, I don't know, you probably wouldn't want to repeat in public in terms of feelings about different races and homosexuality. And there's lots of stuff in there that people choose to just, I want to get to the heart of what I feel like the Bible's about, which is great. But there is a whole book there. There are a lot of different messages in it, not New and Old Testament, and not all of them are perfect for society, but you want them. We want to use a snapshot of it and use it to make our point. We do the same thing with the Constitution. We want to use one amendment to the Constitution, not understanding the entire Bill of Rights or the entire Constitution and what it says, or even what it actually means, right? Freedom of speech does not actually mean you're free of repercussion. It doesn't mean you can say whatever the hell you want to say or do whatever the hell you want to do. That's what we do. This is what we do, though. And we're doing this now with athletes. We go like, hey, you know, they got the system over there, you know, whether it's Australia where they have the academy, the Australian Institute of Sport, or, you know, we can have our academy system. We can, yeah, we don't have universal health care. Our tax rate is far lower. We don't have a junior hoops system. We have a college system, which, oh, yeah, by the way, is intended to help even some of the playing field of getting into and staying into colleges so that we educate the masses for the fact that we only have 450 NBA jobs, right? We just, our whole system is completely different. Like if you want to say, well, when you're 14, there you go and you play over. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. But there's a very different way of educating people. There's a very different, like, yeah, they have the, if you want to compare to Spain, they have first division, they have second division, they have third division. Right? We don't have that here. We kind of have an all or nothing sort of system. So I'm fascinated by this, but the bigger kind of point is I want to know where all the people are who were so dead set on destroying any sense of what amateurism is or was. And now all of a sudden, are you good with this? And if you're okay with paying high school kids, that's great. Are you then okay with paying middle school kids? And if that, are you okay with paying, where does it actually end? Where does it end? Because for every one story, Mikey Williams, where he makes thousands upon thousands of dollars and then because he's on that upward trajectory and he ultimately pans out and becomes an NBA player, it doesn't matter. Like, had LeBron gone to college, not gone to college, LeBron would be a great player. He's 6'8", 260 pounds. He can pass. He can shoot. He can dribble. He knows how to play. He's been well coached since he was in high school. Like, he was going to be good whether he went to school or didn't go to school. The path didn't. All it did was pay him a year earlier. That's all it really did. And he's surrounded himself with enough really smart people, and then some of his friends have risen to his level, and now he has his group of guys and his support staff, and they're all making tons of money and going to live great lives. But, like, that's the one story. It's like the one story. I mean, the perfect example is, you know, we're all celebrating LaMelo Ball, the Lonzo Ball thing, and he's going to get paid here in this offseason. But his dad started a shoe and gear company. It went bankrupt. You know, somebody supposedly ran off with all the money, but nobody was even wearing the shoes anyway. I guarantee the league that his dad started cost Lonzo Ball a ton of money. I just think profiting off your kid when he's 14 or 15 years old to play basketball when he's playing in high school and AAU. Like, I just think the whole thing's gross. And it's the law of unintended consequences that we don't ever take into account. We worry so much about the 1% of one percenters who are going to achieve. Mikey Williams is going to be a great basketball player and make a lot of money regardless. But we worry so much about those guys that they'll be fine. We don't take any account to what it does to the vast majority of kids who, hey, man, it's just about playing ball and getting better and hopefully getting to college and playing on college scholarship and starting yourself off in a great life and then getting a great job and always having those hopes and dreams and thoughts brewing in your mind of maybe becoming a professional, maybe playing overseas, or maybe going into the workforce and benefiting from it. Look, we have done a terrible job as a society of understanding the benefits of how it all works. And I sound, to some of you, I sound like some arcane, you know, knuckle dragger, get off my lawn sort of dude. The truth is, I just understand all of the benefits from the way in which my life and career went. And I only want that for other people. I only want them to succeed. You know, I spent last week coaching guys that were all still kind of chasing it. You know, making somewhere low to mid five figures, a couple, maybe two are making six figures, and they're several years removed from college. But whenever they get done and decide, all right, I'm going to stop chasing it, who are they going to call on in order to get that first job? Me. And people who are like me, who went to the same school, who can then recommend them and get them into a new field. That's the way it works. That's the way it works, and we're not telling people that. Instead, we're telling them, go get your money now, and the rest will take care of itself. And it doesn't actually take care of itself. All right, coming up next. The Lakers are making a move, possibly, to bring in Russell Westbrook. Is he the best fit for what the Lakers need? We'll find out upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So here's what's happened, okay, in the real world. Okay, I don't know if you guys have you guys seen what's happened at Fox News? Have you guys paid any attention to it? So Fox News went from this deal where they were anti-vaxxers, right? And then all of the sudden, I don't know who got the memo. I don't know who got the memo, but now they are very much on the vaccine train. Right? It's a really weird. I don't understand what it's about. Is it about President Trump running again in 24? I'm not really sure. Because to me, it didn't really make sense. And look, the left didn't make sense at all either. Right? Where you had people on the left going, you know, get vaccinated. And then for a long time, you still had to wear a mask, even though you were vaccinated. And that didn't make sense to people. And there weren't benefits to being vaccinated. And I was like, well, look, if the idea is to get vaccinated, there has to be some sort of benefit other than obviously world health, right? I mean, that's the idea of it. Like, you're kind of contradicting yourself. Well, the right was doing the same thing, right? They're championing the fact that former President Trump had Operation Warp Speed, and we got this thing done, and we had multiple vaccines, or you could choose your vaccine, and then you go back several months ago when they opened it up to anybody, and then it was anybody 12 and above. But then once it got opened up to 12 and above, because the presidency had changed, or at least that's what it felt like, there was like, whoa, we don't know about this vaccine. Now everybody's in the vaccine train, right? You won't find anybody who represents any of the left, right? Like, I don't know how that's cool that we have broadcast media that clearly represent one side, but that's what it is. So, Steve DeSager's in today, right? Or is it Isaac Lowenkron? I can't see around that corner there. I believe the NFL has given us their rules, right, on vaccines?
To the letter. And by the way, Doug, you don't find it suspicious that Beyer happens to take the day off on the same day as the Milwaukee Bucks championship parade? You don't find that a tad suspicious?
That's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I do not. I don't know if he's sitting on his couch watching. I do know the buyer works Saturday and Sunday, so he always has a day off. But I think that's more okay. So, take me through. Like, I have the documents in front of me, but you're much better at presenting. Kind of, if you like first, if you don't want, if you're not vaccinated in the NFL. Right. You got to be tested daily. Right. They came out and they said, hey, if you're not vaccinated in the NFL, you have to be tested daily. And basically, you can't leave the hotel. You can't. You got to kind of go back under the strict quarantine orders. Is that accurate?
I would say the best way I can put it is the protocols are similar to how it was last season across the league when the vaccines had not been available yet.
OK. And then if you do get vaccinated, then what happens?
I think you have obviously a lot less limitations and a lot more potential freedoms. I will say this, though, as we found out, just because you have the vaccine doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to test positive. But I believe that there's a more significant difference. I will say this, for example, at Dallas Cowboys training camp, they still have those connection monitors that they had in the bubble to make sure, for example, that media members do not stay within closer to 6 feet of one another, which is actually a pretty good guideline under any circumstances, as you well know. But if you're unvaccinated, the sort of limitations you're under are more pronounced.
Okay, so look, according to so more than 78% of the leagues, the players league-wide have at least one shot. 14 clubs have at least 85% of the players vaccinated. In today's memo, vaccinated players or staff who test positive, right? Okay, remember, this is, if you're vaccinated and you test positive, you can return to duty after two negative tests 24 hours apart. For non-vaccinated players who test positive, the 2020 protocol is made in place requiring a 10-day isolation. In essence, the NFL is telling its clubs to up their efforts to convince players to get vaccinated. Otherwise, the burden of risk falls on the team should the outbreak occur. So what you're having is nearly all clubs have vaccinated 100% of their tier one and tier two staff. Clubs have put appropriate protocols into place. Last few staff have not been vaccinated. Consistent with the guidelines given last April, as of today, more than 75% of the players in the process of being vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. If a vaccinated person is asymptomatic, he or she will be isolated and contact tracing will promptly occur. The positive individual will be permitted to return to duty after two negative tests at least 24 hours apart. Unvaccinated players, the protocols from 2020 remain in place. You get 10 days. A person who had previous COVID infection will be considered fully vaccinated 14 days after they had at least one of the two approved vaccines. So the idea is this. I understand, totally understand if you're sitting there going like, what's the point of getting vaccinated if I can still test positive? Okay, but there's a lot of other benefits to it. I mean, the first is whether it's the Delta variant or the Lambda variant or any of these other things, the more people are vaccinated, the less variants that you'll find. Secondly, as has been reported, there are almost no people. It's not like what happens is we read the statistics and we'll say, well, there's still people that are hospitalized now. Very, 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 very small margin of people. Okay, it's like 1% of people are hospitalized from this thing, and less than 1% of that are vaccinated people. It makes it less likely for you to get it. If you get it, it makes it a lot less severe, and it goes away quicker, right? By the way, if you get vaccinated, you get back to kind of living your life within reasonable means. So this is what the new normal looks like. And I think there are some things put in place there to where, yeah, like you might test positive again. All right. But you're going to test negative much sooner. And once you test negative two consecutive days, you're back. As opposed to you don't get vaccinated, we're going old school on you. And I think that's kind of the best that you can do. It's the best that you can do.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot to get to still. It's really interesting because what, like, just watching this and all the things that are happening in society, and then, you know, you're watching the parade. Like, okay, well, they have HERD immunity, I guess. Michael Lee is here. He joins us from the Washington Post. At Mr. Michael Lee, you can follow him on social media. Did the best team win the NBA championship?
Yes, because they're the best team left. I mean, that's what happens at this time of the year. If you are able to survive, if you're able to play through it and come away with the most healthy bodies, and then you're the best team. And that showed out throughout the course of this series. You can just see the way the Bucks have gained confidence each step of each game. And by the game five, I was just watching it like, oh, this is over. Because I just felt like they just had a mental edge over the Suns because they knew they had the best player on the court. And that happens throughout about every playoff series. There's always a moment where the best player emerges, separates himself from everybody else, and we just got to accept it.
It's a great point you made. Was that moment the block in game three, or was the moment the dunk in game five? What do you think that moment was?
It was just around the time when they jumped up 16 and then they came back. And then it was just like, oh, okay, this team is tired of the heartache. This team is tired of getting close enough and getting embarrassed. This team knows that they got a guy right here who can do everything on both ends of the floor, and we're going to get it done. And you can just see the Suns are kind of scrambling, you know, hoping that Devin Booker could bail them out because they had so many guys who hadn't been on the stage before. And there was just a calm that I just saw from Jrue Holiday to Chris Middleton, and obviously with Giannis, who just has this fearlessness that he just knew that, you know, this is my moment, and I'm snatching it.
The whole thing is fascinating, right? We went from after the second game against Brooklyn, they just didn't have the firepower and they didn't have the right coach. And now they're the NBA champions and it'd take the National Guard to get Bud out of Milwaukee. Like, it really is a fascinating kind of turn of events with the injury to Kyrie Irving, with the foot on the line from KD, the injury to Trey, which, by the way, we should point out, like, the Bucks won without Giannis games, the last two wins against the Hawks. Like, this whole thing is kind of an amazing journey.
Yeah, it is. And that's why, like, I sort of laugh and chuckle at some of the storylines that come out of this about, like, how, you know, this championship is better than other championships, or, you know, Giannis stayed loyal to the Bucks and now everybody else needs to stay with their team. No, this is just the year that they won, and we got to view everything through this own unique circumstances. Like you said, it takes a lot to win a championship, and it takes a lot of luck to win a championship, and you just have to be fortunate enough to have things, you know, tip in your favor. And like you said, Kyrie Irving gets hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, if Giannis doesn't slide under him while he's making that layup, the Nets are right now cutting the nets. You know, they're the champions. And, you know, if KD knew exactly where he was when he pulled up for that three and hits it, like, you know, we know what happens. So a lot of things have to fall in your favor, and the Bucks just happen to be ready. But I don't want to take anything away from more of the Bucks. They were prepared for this moment. They were ready for this moment. And when it came, you know, Giannis just said, it's mine.
Totally agree. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. All right, now the NBA has become what baseball used to be, right? The hot stove league used to be more interesting than the sport. The offseason oftentimes is more interesting. Let's start with Chris Paul. Three options. Stay under that contract one more year. Opt out and re-up with the Suns. Opt out and change places. Maybe the Lakers. What do you think Chris Paul does?
I think he's going to try to find whoever can pay him. And I think that the Suns can pay him more than anybody else. I mean, I'm sure there's probably in the back of his mind there's an appeal to possibly playing with LeBron, you know, finishing out their career together. You know, that would be cool, I think, probably for both of them to do that. But he's in the perfect situation because he's got a team that actually needed him to be as meticulous and demanding as he was. They needed somebody to push them and prod them. They needed somebody with the experience who could show them the way. And I think that, you know, sometimes you just find your tribe. Like last year when Jimmy Butler landed in Miami, it's like, oh, this is a perfect fit. I think Chris should recognize that this is the best place for him. He's got a coach in Monty Williams who respects him and knows what he has to offer. And he's got players on that team that look to him for guidance in those tough situations. And now they have a shared experience. They've experienced the heartache of getting to this point and losing. And they got to now be fired up to go back and try to win it next year. And I think that that's something that Chris hasn't experienced before with a group. And he should try to re-up with them and do it again.
Okay, so then who should the Lakers add? Who is available for them to add?
That's a tough one. I mean, obviously, they had a chance of maybe at the trade deadline to try to get a guy like Kyle Lowry. I think he'd be perfect. I mean, if I'm Miami or L.A., I'm doing everything I can to try to, or Philly, I'm doing everything I can to try to get him out of Toronto. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about Russell Westbrook. I don't know if he solves the problems because he's not a shooter, and they definitely need somebody who could stretch the floor with LeBron and AD out there. And so if they don't get Chris Paul, I would really make a serious run at Kyle Lowry just because he's everything that they need. And he could stretch the floor, and he's just a tenacious defender. He's almost the anti-Schroeder.
Yeah, no, I agree. They should have pulled off that trade at the trade deadline. Okay, what about Damian Lillard? I understand that he's like, look, I speak for myself. I haven't requested a trade, but on some level, we all realize like where this thing is going, right? You just go like, what do you want me? Right? What do you want me to do? What do you think Portland does?
I mean, if they don't make an acquisition, I think they should prepare to try to move him at the deadline. Because I think that you've seen just everything sort of trickle down throughout the course of the season. Little stories leak here that he's frustrated, you know. And then, you know, the comments that he made, you know, after the story about him making a trade demand got out, it sounded like a guy who made a trade demand. You know, everything he said, we got to get better. We're not just going to win because we just get a coach. This isn't enough. You know, he called out the organization and said, we got to be better. And so if they didn't get the message, then they need to find the best home for him. Because, you know, he can't do it by himself. He's getting older. He's in his 30s now. And so they need to try to find him a new home if they can't find him help. It just reminds me, he's not on that level, but it reminds me of when Kobe got frustrated with the Lakers and sort of put them all to mouth. He actually did demand a trade.
Right.
And they went out and got him Pau Gasol. And he won two more championships, and he wound up retiring after 20 years with the Lakers. So you've been called out. So what are you going to do, Portland? If you don't make a trade to get an all-star talent with Dame, then prepare to say goodbye to Dame.
I think it's exactly the question is what kitchen sink can they throw out in order to at least temporarily appease him and give him a shot. Do the Warriors make a big move? Maybe not for Dame, but do they make a big move, as has been discussed, maybe packaging the picks and Wiseman?
Yeah, I mean, the only player that I think that's out there that could really help them and really would be a great fit would be Ben Simmons, because he'd be with a team with shooters, and he wouldn't have the responsibility of having to score or shoot in the fourth quarter because there'd be two guys out there who could do it. I think if they could get the right package to Philly, I think that that's the deal that's sitting out there for me, because I think that, you know, his time has sort of run its course in Philadelphia, and they need to add some new pieces. I don't know who they'd surrender. I don't think picks would necessarily be enough because they're trying to win now as well. But I think they got to talk to Philly and see what is it that we can do to make you happy and to make us happy. And I think that would be the move they could do. But I honestly think just getting Clay back and seeing how Wiseman develops, where he has a full off season, where he has this opportunity to sort of figure out who he is and what they want him to be, I think that could do wonders. I mean, it's underrated. It's not mentioned enough how quickly rookies had to come right into this mix. And for a guy like him to just be asked to be a screener and not be a focal point, and then they just kind of threw him in the fire, it was a tough position for him to be in. And I hope they learn from that experience, because I think he went number two for a reason. He's a legit talent. They just got to figure out how to utilize him. So even if they don't make a move, just improvement from adding Clay and getting a second year Wiseman, that could put him in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think they like it. I mean, the other part is Wiseman only played three college games. Like, not only did he not have an offseason, he played three college games. And so the idea that he would be at 19 years old ready to play with such limited experience, no summer league, is kind of almost laughable, as opposed to like a LaMelo Ball who, like, look, he played professionally in Australia. He had you know, half a season over there under his belt, as well as playing. Yeah. So yes. And he had.
That helps every rookie. I mean, you look at rookies of the year. If you're a point guard or you're a shooting guard and the ball's in your hand, you're going to win because the team, especially if you're on a team that doesn't have high expectations, they just throw the ball out there and let you go play. And so I think it was just the perfect situation for him. For a big man, it's tough because it takes you a while to figure out the NBA game. You got to figure out just how to defend pick and rolls. There's just so much stuff going on in your head. And I think you can see for him, the inexperience just came out a lot, and the expectations just seemed to overwhelm him.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Last thing, Kawhi had ACL surgery. Of course, he had a partially torn ACL. We saw Spencer Dinwiddie come back rather quickly from it. All expectations are, I think, that he re-signs with the Clippers. What do the Clippers look like next season?
I don't know. It's tough because everything has been so built around Kawhi, and I love the way Paul George stepped up in his absence. I think he gained a lot of confidence, and he could help lead them back into the playoffs. I don't see them being a championship team without Kawhi. I don't think there's any move out there they can make that can really upgrade the roster much. So they're just going to have to be a team that just hopes and prays and crosses its fingers that Kawhi can come back, even though we know he's going to take as much time as possible before he decides to get back on the court. It's just a tough situation. You hated to see it. And again, we talked about all the fluky injuries and things that happened this postseason. That to me is right there, right with Kyrie's injury. I mean, if Kyrie doesn't get hurt and Kawhi doesn't get hurt, we got a Clippers Nets finals. And it was probably one. It's maybe, I don't know if it's entertaining as one we just saw, but the names and the star power definitely would have gotten people excited too.
No question about it. Mr. Michael Lee. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. It was a great year. We look forward to talking with you as the NBA draft comes up. Thanks for being our guest.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right. He's the best. Mr. Michael Lee writes for the Washington Post. He does an outstanding job. Next up, we're gonna put together a list of the best cities for a championship parade. Obviously, because Milwaukee had their own today. We'll discuss it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. There's one thing you need to learn in business, kids. I'll tell you what that is. The top of the hour. But first, let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
What do you got? Eyes are glowing, crying.
Gee, I wonder why it's so cold all of a sudden.
I feel a draft.
Topic of today's draft, fellas. Which city would you pick to host a championship parade in the spirit of Milwaukee hosting the Bucks championship parade today? Best city to host a championship parade. We'll start with John, then you, Doug, then Lee DeLapp, then yours truly, and so on and so forth. So, best cities to host a championship parade. We start with John Ramos.
I actually think Doug and I are going to agree on this. So I will pick, which I think it's a no-brainer actually to me.
Tustin, California.
It is Tustin, California. Thank you very much. No, New York City.
Canyon of Heroes.
I don't think anybody can top. I mean, ticker tape parades through many years. Astronauts from Apollo 11. The women's national team went ticker tape. I don't think it's even close. New York City. I've never been there either, and I still picked them.
I listen. We have on a weekly basis. We make fun of John's inability to draft.
That's right? True. It is true.
Like, everybody's just like, man, I can't wait to hear John whether he trades or whatever. That was a great pick. And there's just nothing will ever compare to that. Nothing will ever compare. But with pick two, though they had two champions, there was no parade. But there is actually Victory Boulevard. And it doesn't matter what time of year it is, because it's always beautiful outside. The City of Champions, City of Angels.
All right.
My pick is Los Angeles.
Yes. I've actually personally got an opportunity to participate in one of those. And a lot of the fans actually threw beer at me, but that's another story. No, that's an absolute true story. All right. As I try and change the subject, maybe it was you, John. Here's Lee DeLapp's pick.
Well, having just visited South Beach, I'll send a little love to Miami. I think that would be a fun place to celebrate, absolutely.
All right, good choice. Right down Biscayne Boulevard. So the next two picks are mine. For my first pick, I'm going to kind of go off the board here. I'm going to go with Las Vegas. I was struck by how they were taken and the enthusiasm when the expansion Golden Knights came on the scene and made it to the Stanley Cup Final their first year. And of course, the Raiders just moved there. How about a parade down the strip? So Las Vegas for my first pick, and for my second pick, can't go wrong with a city who knows how to party, New Orleans. New Orleans, Louisiana. So with the next pick, we go back to you, Lee.
Well, I like their style. I'm going to go with Philadelphia. I think you're going to see some things you're not going to see anywhere else.
True.
So I'll take Philly.
All right, Doug, back to you.
You guys are missing it. One that's had more championship parades in the last 20 years than anybody else. But I'll tell you why I like Boston.
Good call.
And the reason is they do it with the duck boats. And do you guys know what the duck boats are? Duck boats are something that you can, if you're ever going to go to Boston, you take a duck boat tour, it's really cool. You go around, you're basically on like a bus, but the duck boats go in the water. And so they go in the water, they go all over the city. It's very, very cool. You combine the duck boats with the history of the city, with so many championships and their knowledge how to do it, I'm going to go Boston.
He led off with a winner in the Canyon of Heroes. How will John Ramos wrap up the draft?
That's a good question. With under a minute to go before we have to leave, I'm going to say a team that pretty much set the standards for basketball in the 90s, and I'll say Chicago. The Cubs got a championship. Good. The Bulls had many. I'll take Chicago as my final pick.
Right there in Grant Park?
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Grant Park's big time. John did well today. He did really, really well today. I have surprise in my voice because I'm actually surprised, right? Like, this is going to be hard. I'm so used to making fun of John's picks, and now I can't make fun of any of John's picks.
Hey, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
You were right twice today, so congratulations, broken clock. Good job. That's John Ramos. He'll be taking all your texts and tweets for the John Ramos Show, available on social media. All right, coming up next, there's a story which we... it broke during our show yesterday about Oklahoma and Texas, and somebody from Oklahoma or Texas or Oklahoma and Texas reaching out to the SEC like, hey, you got a spot? I'd be interested. To me, it comes down to one word. Do you know what that word is? I'll share it with you next in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.